I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This is just the beginning, whether it's the Alabama IVF ruling, whether it's these cases out of Texas, whether it's the assault on emergency care, we're going to continue to see, because of the Dobbs decision and the failure of, sadly, of many Republicans to side with us on codifying Roe v. Wade into law, we are not able to do that right now. And that's why this is so important, not just this decision, but this election that's coming up, because we would have the ability to codify Roe v. Wade into law if we elect people who stand on the side of women making their own health care decisions.
Well, that is exactly why I do not want the Democrats to win, because they will codify Roe v. Wade, as you were hearing being pitched by Congresswoman Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, saying if we get back into power, we don't have the vote now, but when we get in power, we will vote to codify abortions all across the land under whatever circumstances and allowances we want, which right now we know they want to claim the right is extreme on abortion because you want to save a baby's life. Now, you can debate 6 weeks or 10 weeks or whatever weeks you want, but the extreme comes from the left because they are willing, and it's written into some state laws, basically acceptable, to abort the baby right before delivery, even at delivery or after delivery, which would be infanticide, killing a child. And what does that do for the, quote, rights of the woman and her body, her choice? And especially if it's a female that's born. Oh, let's don't get into those kinds of arguments, Larry. They just... it clutters the field. I mean, you're trying to make too big of a deal out of it. Yeah, well, that's what I do, and I'm going to continue to make it as big of a deal as I can. What we had yesterday in the U.S. Supreme Court was the beginning of trying to find another way to get abortion spread across easily. And I'm honestly not sure which way the court's going to go. If I were to hazard a guess, they're not going to fall on the side of denying these pills. We'll break it down for you. Glad to have you on board. This is hour number two of Larry Connors USA. Here we are, March 27, 2024, and reminding you, whenever we're on the air, you can also watch streaming video available at News Talk STL, Facebook, Rumble, which is a big outlet for us, or Twitter. Same thing with Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. And if you miss anything, you simply can pull up a podcast of the same program, audio and or video, at LarryConnorsUSA.com and Larry Connors USA Facebook. So the court yesterday was looking at this argument that had been presented by a group that, by the way, included the wife of Missouri Senator Hawley, and she was on the side trying to say we cannot allow this drug to be simply sent across the state lines and sent to women because of the possibilities of a severe miscarriage and threatening the woman's life. You have to keep in mind, those of you who think this is a great idea, abortion in itself is grotesque and it can be, and there can be complications, but at least supposedly happens in a proper surgical room. In this case, the woman just takes the pill. She's basically taking a pill filled with acid. And it would supposedly only go to the womb and go in to attack the baby and destroy the baby. She may or may not expel it in the near future. She may have to carry it around for a while. And you also have to know that if you're taking something in, and you must know this already, that it could affect your body in ways you did not plan and even severe. Let's take something extremely, extremely simple. You used to really like jalapenos and Mexican food. But lately you can't do it because your stomach won't tolerate. You've got to take a lot of antacid. Because the way that what you used to love is now attacking your body, you need to find some way to fight it. Now, do you want to take that same jalapeno or whatever it is that's causing you so much indigestion and really heartburn or whatever else and put it into a pill and take it so it will slowly release through your body and you take nothing to stop it or ease your pain? That's what this drug would do. And yesterday, while the court was in session hearing the case, there were doctors, politicians, pro-life leaders, women's health advocates, all rallying outside the U.S. Supreme Court. And they want to overturn the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, as they call it, reckless abandonment of care standards for women and girls if they and have already deregulated the chemical abortion drug mifepristone. And as I said, the senior counsel that was leading this, Erin Hawley, the wife of Missouri Senator Josh Hawley. She was a senior counsel for the Alliance Defending Freedom, and another group that was being represented, American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists. And all of them are saying we need to have some high standards on returning this drug and making it available. So the argument as portrayed in the court under the court title, U.S. FDA versus the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine. We talked about this the other day, about the Hippocratic Oath. It does not say directly, first do no harm, but that's the intent of it. But now a lot of universities, medical schools, don't have their doctors on graduation take the oath. Or if they do, it's modified, altered, something under a Geneva preference, Geneva Convention type preference. In other words, how else were you going to be able to explain that if you're a doctor and you're aborting babies that you're doing no harm? How else are you going to explain that if you are a doctor who is engaging in and actively promoting possibly puberty blockers on children because they simply don't know what sex they are in their mind, and you're not helping them get counsel, you're just quickly prescribing the drugs even after a brief counseling, if at all, and then on top of that, how fast you're willing to get out the surgical tools and chop off parts of their body and truly transform them basically into something God did not intend. This drug that they were arguing about has, we know, by cases reported. And these are not demanded reports. That's the other thing. The FDA does not demand reporting of these cases. But those reports have come forward. Emergency care needed for 1 in 25 women ever since this drug was first approved for market use in 2000. Now, at that time, a prescriber had to show ongoing medical care, an initial in-person visit to screen for complication-inducing conditions, follow-up care to treat infection, internal bleeding, and other possible side effects. But since that time, the FDA has removed those basic safeguards, not requiring an initial in-person visit to screen for possible complications, not provide ongoing medical care, not provide follow-up care to treat infection, internal bleeding, or other effects. The FDA said, "Nope, you don't need that." The same FDA, by the way, which was insisting you had to take the COVID shot. And, of course, as I've been running a commentary today, they finally settled out of court and said, we will take down everything we had on our site, saying that the ivermectin drug was dangerous. So we'll say, we'll take it all down. But they did not admit liability in any way, which is wrong. And here the FDA is 180 degrees the other way, taking a drug that obviously would have complications. If you're putting something in your body that's going to destroy something in the womb, you know there are going to be complications. Maybe not as severe for others. And if I tell you 1 in 25, those are the ones that are reported. Lower courts had already found the FDA guilty of failing to provide public safety in the case of mail order abortion drugs. And yet yesterday in the arguments in judging the questions and responses of the justices, they might end up simply saying the case doesn't have standing, has to go back to the lower courts. Because they're saying, where's the harm? Who got harmed? Well, obviously some women have been harmed, but they were not part of the case, not brought in. None of the doctors that were part of the team fighting for it could step forward and say, well, I've been harmed because my patient took it and against my wishes, or that now I'm being sued by a family because I prescribed it. They didn't have anybody like that. So the high court's decision basically may stand on simply, do they even have a right to argue this case? One female physician, a family physician, with experience providing care for women suffering a chemical abortion, did speak outside the court, calling for the restoration and reevaluation of safety standards upon this drug. She said, I'm here for my patient who called me crying that she could still see her 9-week baby alive in the gestation sac and wondering how long it's going to take for her child to die. I'm here for my patients who went into labor at home and delivered the embryo or fetus into the toilet, did not know what to do next. And the FDA sees no reason to put a stop on it. Don't you have a label on a cigarette pack that says smoking could be hazardous to your health? Yes, you do. Do they put these label warnings on this drug? They might, but the bottom line is if you're going to ship them across state lines, who knows what's happening with them? But anyway, Klobuchar says, we see an opportunity here.
This is all coming back to this same court that overturned 50 years of precedent with Roe v. Wade. And now before them is a drug that's been found safe and legal for nearly 25 years and is safe and legal all over this country. So you're exactly right, Andrea. This is full circle back to the court again. And it's why we must step in, codify Roe v. Wade into law, and protect women all across the country with the simple principle that they should be able to make their own health care decisions and not politicians.
So if they want to take a revolver and load all six chambers and play Russian roulette, that's certainly their decision. And that may be the case with this drug if it continues. We'll have to see what the court decides. Decision will be coming up June, July. But again, the left is going to use this as once we get control again, we get control of the House and the Senate, then we will move forward to codify this and make this a law. In the meantime, there are new threats to the GOP House control, Marjorie Taylor Greene among them, pushing to punish Speaker Mike Johnson because he pushed through that last budget. Many Republicans did not want it. But the question is, could her push turn the House upside down?
The criticism here is that if a motion to vacate ever came, that you could have Democrats all voting for Hakeem Jeffries, and you've got some rhinos, lots of them, and maybe at least a handful. If they side with Democrats, you have Hakeem Jeffries as Speaker of the House. That's the danger.
That is, you know, I want to know something. That is the twist and the spin that everyone is trying to throw out at me on this. But let me tell you, it's a math. Yeah. This is simple math. The more Republicans like Mike Gallagher that resign and leave early, guess what? That means we have less Republicans in the House. So every time a Mike Gallagher or a Ken Buck leaves early, that brings our numbers down and brings us dangerously closer to being in the minority. It's not Marjorie Taylor Greene that is saying the inconvenient truth and forcing everyone to wake up and realize Republican voters are done with us doing this kind of crap that we did last week. And they are fed up with speakers of the House and Republicans that go out and campaign and make all these promises and then turn around and stab their voters in the back, because that's what Mike Johnson did on Friday.
Again, the words of Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. That bill, the $1.2 trillion bill, it did make it through the House. It needed 67% of the vote from the House. It got 68%, but a majority of Republicans voted against it. And she's taking her ire out upon House Speaker Johnson, who, of course, has just been in office, what, less than 5 months? After Florida Congressman Gates called for a vote of confidence, referenced Kevin McCarthy, and got him ousted because they didn't like the way he was handling things. And she will claim, and I can understand her statement, that you can't drop it all on me because we got a couple of congressmen retiring, which they did. Ken Buck last Friday voted for the last time, and his vote was no against this bill. He's done with politics. He's done with his party. He says he doesn't support how they stood with Trump on 2020 and the fighting for the election. And then you've got Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin deciding to step down. That leaves the House, with those two gone until those seats are filled, a one-vote majority over the Democrats. So that's why they're suggesting that you might have Democrats elect the next House Speaker if you move forward with this. Maybe it would be Hakeem Jeffries. Again, Marjorie Taylor Greene says, don't point the finger at me.
I am not going to be responsible for Hakeem Jeffries being Speaker of the House. I am not going to be responsible for a Democrat majority taking over our Republican majority. That lies squarely on the shoulders of these Republicans that are leaving early because they don't have the intestinal fortitude to handle the real fight and the responsibility that comes with leadership at the end of our republic, when our country is nearly destroyed and when our Constitution is being rammed through a paper shredder. So no one is going to blame that on me.
No one's going to blame you on you. Well, actually they will, Marjorie, and you know that. But will it stick? Before this hour is out, I want to let you know about, in a southern state, a Chinese chemical plant will be building, or rather, a manufacturer will be building two factories, two communist factories inside a southern state. I'm going to give you details of that. And also over at the MSNBC, NBC outlets, they are so happy. The host, the staff, all gloating because the CEO finally bowed to their pressure and said, we will withdraw that $300,000 a year contract for Ronna McDaniel, former RNC chairwoman. And yet at the same time insisting, we're always going to be fair and open and have all sides on our networks. Pull the BS card on that one, will you? And coming up next, a guest that is going to tell you that we have a situation where maybe Florida Governor DeSantis overstepped his bounds. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 1-800-644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local. Really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on?
The Rob Carter Show.
Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
Well, there's 1,000 miles in 18 hours. I got a double drive down southbound 35. I got the hammer down, Detroit made, 525 pushing my ass right down that line. In that smell of burning diesel fuel just tells me that I'm back out on the road.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. Earlier this week, Florida Governor DeSantis signed on House Bill 3. A summary shows it outlines online protection for minors on social media platforms, requiring some to, quote, prohibit certain minors from creating new accounts, quote, requiring social media platforms to terminate certain accounts and provide additional options for termination of such accounts. It is obviously billed as addressing mounting concerns over minors and the addictive influence they have and being influenced by social media. My guest is the founder of Wimkin, that is billed as a free speech social media, Jason Shepherd. Jason, glad to have you on board, sir.
Larry, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, let's begin first with your belief is, or raising the question anyway, does that social media ban signed by DeSantis go too far? In what way?
I mean, personally, I do believe it goes way too far in many aspects. First and foremost, you know, I was surprised to see DeSantis actually put this out there being, you know, a freedom advocate. But, you know, to be quite honest with you, we've seen so much bipartisanship on if you recall when Trump was still in office and said he wanted TikTok out of the country because of its, you know, China influences first and foremost and national security threats. Now you're seeing bipartisanship in, you know, the actual, I think it was 352 to 65 or something like that in terms of the numbers to where you're actually seeing, you know, Democrats be okay with this. So I'm worried about first and foremost the control factor as we go up to the election. I mean, obviously, last time we saw with COVID, you know, we have something come up before these elections here that can influence
Let me stop you for one second, Jason.
Sure.
The bill's aimed at minors. Now, you're suddenly jumping to elections and COVID, which they would not be involved in. They, if they're close to being age of vote or worried about COVID and so forth, I can understand. But how are you making that correlation?
So the correlation is more or less it's the First Amendment violation.
Well, now that I buy all the time. Go ahead.
That's the aspect that I'm getting at first and foremost, because, you know, even if 13, 14-year-olds don't understand, you know, their rights, so to speak, you know, parents are going through this. And I've never really I'm 42 years old and I've lived, unfortunately, us getting attacked by the House Select Committee just because we're a free speech platform and all these things. I've seen a lot to see that this was coming down the line, so to speak. You know, we were banned by the app stores for the alleged insurrection, for 9 memes that they thought that we needed to be banned for. So, when I say that, I mean specifically that it's like we're being groomed for it. And these children, obviously, I guess that's the correct term for grooming, but I agree with DeSantis on some things. And I certainly believe that minors should be protected. There's no doubt about that. When it comes to Snapchat, I think that's an incredibly predatory app where people think they're disappearing their photos and things of that nature. But, you know, technically they're really not, and it can get these kids into trouble.
All right. Let me break it down for the audience. Again, you farm with Wendy Bell, who's known in this area, who's also a Newsmax host, that you guys came up with an app to keep her from being censured, because we've been censured on this program. YouTube shut us down, and any conservative voice faces that. But the bill itself, as I was reading it a moment ago, and the summation, do you agree with it that it's just going to prohibit certain minors from creating new accounts? What's the issue there?
So I believe that it's going to actually, again, I think it's a draconian aspect. I mean,
so it's opening the door is what you're saying.
Exactly. And I think that, hey, we'll start with minors, then we'll push it further. I mean, we saw this specifically with the Patriot Act, first and foremost. I think this is going to be warped. At the same time, you have the Restrict Act, you know, coming out. And then if you really even want to go further, which, you know, we get notified by all of them, but there's also something called the Digital Services Act that's out of the European Union. Now, these penalties for the DeSantis bill, $50,000 per instance. Now, Wimkin does not make that anywhere near what a Facebook makes, doesn't make anywhere near what a X makes. I mean, I know Elon Musk is in some trouble with X, of course, but, you know, I don't even know if we crack 1.5 million in sales a year. So,
Trump Social just went public. Maybe that's what you need to do. Although they're saying it's overvalued and it's a scam, but go ahead.
Oh, well, hey, listen, but at the same time, they're touting the stock market, but now it's a ploy, right?
Right.
You know, Biden, the stock market's this. But yeah, I mean, that's just plain and simple where I'm getting worried about the absolute control factor again, because you had no bipartisan support at all when Trump said that TikTok should be out. But when it comes down to it, social media is very simple. Okay. You know, like I stated, the Snapchats and some of those dark platforms, I would certainly say kids cannot, they shouldn't get on.
How are you going to regulate? How are you going to regulate that?
It's almost impossible. How do you enforce this? I mean, are you going to lock up a 13-year-old because they signed up for an account? Are you going to lock up a parent? Are you going to fine the parent? And then they want us to actually, as social media owners, pay up to $10,000 stipend for anybody who we don't, you know, actually, I guess, vet well enough. And so there are certain things as a developer that you can do. I mean, if they really do go this route, if this somehow passes in Florida, I think every single state's going to try to do it.
Well, now this particular bill I'm reading has been passed, and he signed it.
Yeah, but I mean, there's going to be so much pushback in the Supreme Court with net choice.
Okay,
first and
I see
foremost,
what you're saying.
Let me add
for the audience that you also created a TikTok alternative named RealStar, and you also have a YouTube alternative, TruthLeak. Mm-hmm. TruthLeak, that sounds pretty close to True Social. You may be facing an infringement patent of some type. We hear all the time the left wants everyone to believe that conservatives want to ban and burn books. Mm-hmm. And that came out of Florida, in addition to, quote, don't say gay law, which was never in part of the law. They're not banning books. They're just banning them at age-appropriate levels in their schools. If a parent wants to go out and get the book for them and give it to them or let them read it, the same thing here on your internet, whether or not the child's registered, they just log in under the parent, and the parent allows them to do it, and they get into anything. I'm like you. I don't know how any of this could be enforced. I understand and support the belief that we protect our children, but how are you going to do it?
That's almost impossible, because, you know, even if you were to come up with something as, again, the developer here, to where you have a digital signature by parents, you know, that signature certainly can be forged. If you have, you know, the ability to say, okay, I'm uploading my ID, I'm vouching for my child being on this application, you know, that, how many parents have, I'm sorry, how many children have gone in their parents' purse or, you know, dad's wallet before? So, like, there's really
no
way.
I got out of school all the time with a mom writing an excuse for me.
Oh, hey.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, and here's the thing, too. This is another interesting aspect. When these 13-year-olds realize they're all going to band together and say, we can get $10,000 per instance. if we get approved by these people. You know, so you're going to also have the Wimkins of the world in the True Socials. And I mean, granted, Wimkin does not have that many minors because nobody at that age is really interested in politics. And that's what Wimkin turned into. We have another platform called Friendser. That's certainly, you know, just name alone, it's like a Facebook. But, you know, you mentioned Realster, and Realster, we specifically made it to rival TikTok in terms of having parental controls, having age groups that are served specific content. We have age groups from 3 to 8.
Well, how do you enforce that?
Well, so that's actually based on an algorithm. Wimkin has no algorithms. We just allow it's an open source platform. But with Realster now, you know, granted, I guess what you're asking is
can you get around it? And I'm betting you can.
If a 9-year-old signs up, yes, you really need the parent involved. You know, but I don't, you never know. 9-year-olds might want to see things, but I mean, there's not going to be anything bad. I'm just stating that, you know, 9-year-olds shouldn't be seeing the scantily clad girls like you see all over TikTok.
Jason, if I go to buy Red Bull, they are now asking me for my age. And you said you're 40, you're 43, right? Yeah. And, yep. And so you're 20 years younger than me. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. But they can look at me and see that I've got to be, and at this drugstore that I normally buy, every time they say, and I need your age, and I gave them one time 1898, see what they'd do. I think it almost went through, but the bill is passed. Well, I know I end up having to, I could still give a 1930 and they're going to let that one go through, but kids right now, and if the parents are going to assist them, they will find a way. You don't like the fact that DeSantis signed this. You are worried about the challenges, I agree. But in the last minute, how do you see it playing out?
I see monumental legal challenges to this. I know NetChoice is coming. Meta, even X, because X has some younger crowds. You know, we might actually put our voice out there, too, because it does hurt the smaller platforms. And my main point is, even if we filed an amicus brief, you know, based on something that NetChoice already filed their lawsuit, you know, it does lead to the concern after, you know, we went through the House Select Committee. They came at us and tried to get every piece of information on our platform, on every single user. You know, we were banned by the App Store. So these individuals do attack people. And if it's just because they don't, you know, or you go against the grain or go against their narrative. So I think we would file something like that as well to say, hey, listen, you know, you have to regulate this on your end to where you're not just shutting down companies. And it's a heck of a, it's even more of a debate that you have to have more than TikTok, though, the whole TikTok ban bill.
All right. Jason, we'll probably be getting back to you in the near future.
Please. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
You bet. Jason Shepherd, founder of Wimkin Social Media, Wimkin. Coming up, a lot of gloating and applauding and praise over at NBC. They got rid of Ronna McDaniel. There's joy in Mudville.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers could help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself. Mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me. On Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at VincentsJewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield is a very special deal. You do not want to miss this. A bottle of Angel's Envy engraved with your name, or maybe get several with your company name. What a great gift for special clients. So you can get one or several. Check the Lit Cigar Lounge STL Facebook for full details, or just visit Lit in Chesterfield. In fact, I'll probably see you at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge.
This is News Talk STL.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the valley of kings?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, before we wrap up this hour, I'm going to explain in more detail as to what happened with Ronna McDaniel and NBC and why so many on those two networks are joyful. But she's not, and she apparently is going to be firing back. I'll have details of that coming up before we wrap up the hour. But I want to share this with you. And I keep looking at it, I'm thinking, how in the hell is this happening? We already have a concern about TikTok in our country, which kind of relates to our discussion we were just having with Jason Shepherd of Wimkin about controlling the social media and who's actually in control of it. And TikTok is controlled by Chinese communists. We've had bills passed in numerous states. They're not going to be allowed to buy large plots of land, especially near military installations. We're not going to allow that anymore. At least some states have taken that attitude. So then I go to the state of Louisiana. Now, I like the state of Louisiana for many reasons. If you've ever been there, you'd understand why. It's not only just a great place to visit. Louisiana is, I think, a very good state. But there's something happening there. And when you begin to break it out and you look at the leadership of it, you have to ask again, how in the hell is this going to happen? What are you talking about, Larry? Well, the state of Louisiana is in the process of approving the Chinese communist, a chance to build not one, but two chemical plants in that state. Yeah, I know. Louisiana, again, it's a red state, voting Republican in every presidential election since 2000 by a large margin. But they're about ready to let this happen. Here are the details of it. There's a Capcom Technology USA. It's a wholly owned subsidiary of the China-based Capcom Technology, which is again part of the Chinese Communist Party. They already are slated to build a $120 million factory in Ohio. Now they're working on a $350 million plant to be placed in Louisiana. And I thought they had one other. I think the first copy I saw was indicating both of them were to be placed in Louisiana, but only one. But that's one too many. Same thing with Ohio. A review of the website shows that the Chinese social media account, an executive social groups, you find numerous Chinese communist members involved in it. And yet I'm looking at a quote that I certainly would second from New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, stating, "Communist Chinese companies have no place on American soil. And the Chinese communist-owned company, all of them, including this one, have a concerning history of advancing Communist Party military technology and present a clear and pressing national security threat to our nation. A spokesman for the company acknowledged that, quote, some of the members are Chinese communists, some of them. That's like a little oil in your water. It's just a little bit of oil, but it's tainted all of it. And in this case, the oil will be floating on top of the water, easily to see, but if you're going to be drinking the water, you are going to end up getting some of the oil as well. So some are Communist Chinese Party members, but, quote, the company doesn't have exact statistics about the number of them. My God, are we that stupid to believe the Chinese communists don't know how many Chinese communists they have in a company they're putting in the States? You know they know. They think you are that stupid. Why? Well, because in their country, everyone just, yes, 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 whatever. In this country, you're actually allowed to think for yourself. You and I might not think alike, but you're allowed to think your way and me think mine. A spokesman even stated, as a privately controlled company, party member identity does not influence company management or operations. How would you know if you don't know how many are in there or even what position they have? Is it just the janitor who sweeps up late in the evening? And I'm not dismissing people that do that. They're earning a living, an honest living, providing for themselves and their family. But are they saying, well, it's just the janitor, they don't have any control? They got keys to every office. But that's assuming also that the leadership of the company, not the one they put in front of you, but the real leadership, is not working to undermine our nation in the process. So again, one is going to be planned for Ohio, a $120 million factory, and a $350 million plant to be located in Louisiana. These, again, are intended to be chemical manufacturing plants. What could possibly go wrong? Seriously. My dad was in the oil field business, and I've been around chemical plants a lot of my younger life. And I can tell you there are numerous times where something did go wrong by a true accident or not proper maintenance. So something can always, quote, go wrong, and then you have the capability to intentionally release chemicals into the air and maybe get by with it until it's spotted, and then, oh, our bad, we'll correct it now. I mentioned the other day, and someone questioned me about it after hearing the program. There was a family we would go visit, one of my dad's relatives, and they lived in New Mexico, actually on grounds owned by the refinery where the relative worked. He had a wife and three, four kids. So we went to visit them and stayed there. As soon as you get out and start breathing the air, and they were doing it every day, you got an oily taste in your mouth. And everything in your nostrils and in your mouth, you were ingesting all the time you were there. We were only there maybe 2 days. And I do know it took more than a week before that smell and the taste got out of my mouth and my nostrils. I have no idea what happened to those kids that they had. But I would not be surprised if they all came down with some kind of illness. So a chemical plant run by the Chinese Communist Party. Well, are you going to let them go ahead and build ballistic missiles and silos inside our country? Why not? Or then again, labs of any type. Something like, oh, I don't know, maybe let's look for an example. Let me think here. What do we know about Chinese labs and anyone? Oh, Wuhan. How about Wuhan? How about they move those labs from Wuhan into the U.S. Why not? Again, I believe in researching toxic chemicals and or germs to fight off biological warfare. We need to be able to know how to spot them and to cure them and to defend against them and provide an antidote. But, you do not let the Communist Chinese Party do it with your money, which is what we were doing in Wuhan. And in the meantime, with all the illegals coming into the country, there's another alarm being raised by animal health experts. As they're quoted in the Epoch Times, they're pointing out one is a vet, been a vet for 50 years, served on the Texas Animal Health Commission. He said, we are having a threat to our food supply. It's already began to show up, past cases of tuberculosis being transmitted from illegals to dairy cows in Texas. I didn't know that could happen, but apparently it can. He said, in the process, they're not only destroying our country, but our food supply. He does note this vet, in recent years, thousands of Texas cattle have been slaughtered after they were found to be infected with drug-resistant TB through constant contact with illegals who were working at milk dairies, gathering the cattle, milking them, or even hooking them up to electronic milking machines. One Texas herd, they say, in Castro County had a herd of about 10,000 affected. In another county, Sherman County, they had 13,000 affected. Investigators found the human strains had originated outside the U.S. So the illegals, in addition to knowing that they're bringing in diseases for our citizens, also in directly affecting our food supply. As I mentioned in the beginning, we have a lot of joy in, quote, Mudville at NBC and MSNBC because the CEO of NBC decided not to hire RNC chairwoman McDaniel because of the outcry from some of the hosts. So here we have Joy Reid and Rachel Madcow joyfully celebrating.
Our chairman of the NBC Universal News Group, Cesar Conde, who we both know very well, he sent a memo that we all got as employees here, rescinding the hiring of Ronna Romney McDaniel. And I know I felt very strongly about it. I know you felt very strongly about it. I think everyone from 4 o'clock on, from Nicole all the way to midnight, we all felt very strongly and said so on our respective shows, yesterday. And I just have to say, when somebody does the right thing, I feel like it should be acknowledged as publicly as we acknowledged our outrage. And so I know how I feel about it. I am grateful to Cesar for actually making the right decision. I think it was the right decision, but I want to get your take as well.
Oh, well, thank you for asking me about it. I still feel like a little, it always feels wrong to talk about things, you know, in the company.
Agreed.
As if it's news. And I, you know, it's just this, it's yeah. Not the way either you or I are wired. I know
how they're wired. I don't want to know how they're wired other than, they're short-circuiting, and they're missing a few batteries here and there. But, yes, the NBC CEO not only decided to kill the deal with Ronna McDaniel, which was going to pay her $300,000 a year for 2 years, he issued a statement to members. As they said, we know him very well. We socialize. We have cocktails, whatever. He said, I want to personally apologize to team members who felt we let them down. This was a collective recommendation by some members of our leadership team, but I approved it. I take full responsibility. And Rachel Maddow again.
I will just say that journalists are a fractious bunch. And in our big company with all sorts of different journalistic entities, you have all sorts of different people working in this business, doing all sorts of different kinds of work. And to see the essentially unanimous feeling among all the journalists in this building and all the sort of senior staff and all the producers and everybody in this building about this was one thing. But then to see the executives and the leadership hear that and respond to it and be willing to change course based on it, based on their respect for us and hearing what we argued. I have deep respect for that. I do. I mean what I said on the air last night on my show, that I think that acknowledging that you might have gotten something wrong is a real sign of strength, a real show of strength. And I think it's a show of strength, and I think it's a show of respect for the people who work at this company and who make us who we are, that leadership is willing to change on this. And I'm grateful to them. You know, it's not about hiring a Republican. It's not even about hiring somebody who has Trump ties. This was a really specific case. Because of Ms. McDaniels and her involvement in the election interference stuff, and I'm grateful that our leadership was willing to do the bold, strong, resilient thing.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be using her name because she's a witness in the Michigan electors case. I mean, it's less awkward to have to say, and by the way, this person works for NBC News, right? We're glad we don't have to do that.
You talk about who's showing strength. It's the employee showing the CEO is a wimp. He decided to back out of it, yet while insisting, we always want to welcome and will continue to be committed to the principle. We're going to give diverse viewpoints on our programs. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Caught you at it, didn't we? And in fact, MSNBC has not one Trump supporter on air, not one. And they'd already said after she got hired for NBC, Joe Scarborough of his program, MSNBC, and the others, Rachel Maddow and Joy Reid, said, well, you're not going to be on our program, not on MSNBC. We're not going to let her. So they don't really want to hear an opposing viewpoint. They want the sheep that will follow quietly. Don't even bleep. Well, Ronald McDaniel apparently is going to bleep and beep because she's considering filing a defamation suit against NBC News. I hope she does. You don't have to like her or anything she stands for, but she got hired, she got a contract, and then she's out because other people didn't like her in her own shop. And the CEO says, my bad. Well, then maybe you should pay for it extensively. But don't think they're going to be journalists. That doesn't exist. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.